few moments considering a word that I feel the Lord just deposited into my heart for you when I was first extended the invitation to come and serve in this unique season you're in of interregnum, I believe the correct term is. And I'm privileged it's all timed up for me because I am a senior leader over at Wellspring Church in Watford. I've served there for, oh, I should have done the counting, since 98. That's a while, 20 plus years alongside my husband. But I am now no longer on the staff team, so I serve voluntarily as senior leader because I'm full-time focused on Dignify. And what that's done is it's released my Sundays in a beautiful way, so I get to be out and about even more than I was before. I used to still get out and about on Sundays, but I can do that even more now that I'm not on the staff team, which is really good. And when I had this opportunity to come here, which I was delighted and privileged to say yes straight away, I felt the Lord immediately deposit a word in my heart for you, which I've been kind of holding since the invitation came. And it is all about the more than, that the Lord has something more for you than you've currently experienced. Now, because I speak in other places, I know it's very easy when someone comes in, you think, okay, this is just something they say wherever they go. And I just want you to know this isn't. And the reason, and I wouldn't normally even tell you if I've preached a message somewhere else, but I just feel today to say the Lord has something for you individually as Christ followers, but also as a family of believers here at Boreham Wood Baptist Church. There's something unique he has for you. So I just say that to emphasize that, because I want you to, if you can, to lean in to what he might be saying. Now, in a minute, I'm going to read some few verses that was the catalyst for this thought process, what the Lord put in my heart for you. And they're written by Peter in one of his letters. But before we come to his words, I want us to consider Peter, the man, in order to try and capture some of what I believe the Lord has for you. Now, you all know of Peter. He was one of Jesus's disciples, one of the apostles. He was one of the first ones to be called, not the first, but one of the first. And you'll remember Peter because he just immediately abandoned his fishing business in order to pursue becoming a fisher of people. When Jesus called him, he jumped straight into the pursuit of Jesus. And you'll remember he's one of those types of people. I quite relate to him. I think he was an extrovert. You don't actually get that written in the Bible, but I think he was an extrovert because he seems to be someone who processes out loud and thinks as the sentences are going. And so the end of the sentence might be a little bit more thought through than the beginning of the sentence because he's processing out loud. Do we have any people in the room who do that? Who process out loud? I'm guessing yes. Not because you're saying anything. But there's a sense, and I do this all the time. I will start a sentence and then, you know, my husband will go, sorry, really, do you mean that? And I'll go, let me keep going. The sentence is not finished because by the time, you know, and this was what Peter was like, this activist, pragmatist, loud dude who would just speak out his mind. He was one of the first to capture the reality that Jesus was the Messiah. Of course, he was also a little bit too quick and hasty on the transfiguration, and he wanted to make permanent that which the Lord had as temporary. He was also far too sleepy in the Garden of Gethsemane and could not stay awake to support his best friend and Lord and Savior, and fell asleep at Jesus' most needy hour. He was also very erratic and very spontaneous and, you know, quick to wield a sword when Jesus was arrested. You know, there was a lot of qualities about the man, that he was impatient and impetuous, but wholeheartedly passionate. And of course, he also had the passion to vehemently deny even knowing Jesus. When Jesus was arrested, he was very much like, no, I don't know him. No, I was not with him. This is the man, Peter, who later, when filled with the Holy Spirit, became so bold, he was able to speak to the thousands of people gathered. You remember at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, and many people came to know the Lord. Because of this man and his ability to catch that which the Lord is depositing. So that's the man. So with that, let's turn our attention to the beginning of his first letter that was written to scattered believers, many believers across a wide expanse. And he wrote this. It should come up perfect. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. We're going to pause that amazing letter just there, because it is in these words, more and more grace and peace, that I felt the Lord wanted to say to this church family in particular, that he has for you more and more grace and peace. Now, interestingly, I feel like this is a divine catalyst, because if you see the beginning of Paul's letters in those just tiny little verses, there is a transaction that has happened. God the Father knew you and chose you. His Spirit made you holy. As a result of what the Holy Spirit did in making you holy, he has cleansed you. So everything that is happening that sets up the recipients of this letter to understand that there's more and more grace and peace, everything that has happened is because of the catalyst that has happened by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's presence precipitates our posture. In other words, these people were being positioned for more and more grace and peace because of the work of the Holy Spirit in the first place. It is the Lord, his saving grace on the cross. It is the Lord giving us his Holy Spirit. It is the Lord, by his blood, that we are made clean, enabled to receive more and more grace. Are you following? The Lord has done everything for us to receive him. It's not about what we can do. It's all about who he is and what he has done. Now, I wonder if you think about your world, your life, your experiences, everything that you're juggling right now. In what areas would you like, do you need more grace? In what areas would you like or do you need more peace? Because I think we live in troubled times. You know, we would all agree that on a global scale, the troubles are immense. If we turn on the news, it is troubling. It is unsettling. There is trauma going on a global scale with wars, rumors of wars, threats of escalating wars. There is a lot to be concerned with. Then we come into, you know, more local circumstances and even the stuff that I do with Dignify and the things that I've shared with you, think this is concerning. We have much to be troubled about. And yet, into the situations that Peter was writing to, and I believe they're still relevant to us today, there is an opportunity for more and more grace and peace. And not because of anything we can do, but just because of who the Lord is and what his heart is for us. Who would like some more peace today? Who would like some more grace today? This is the gift that the Lord has for you today. Paul also wrote to the Corinthians, and I'm just going to read one little verse I want to draw out that kind of brings it in. From his letter to the Corinthians in the second letter in chapter 9. And I'm reading this from the Message, so that is a kind of a paraphrase translation. It says this: God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Let me read that again. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways, so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. And earlier we had the passage read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and I love this passage. And in verse 20 of the passage that was read, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Infinitely more. Infinitely more. All of us have a capacity to think and imagine. Some of us have really, really colorful imaginations. Other of us, we're a little bit more restricted. But either way, we get to a level where we can think or imagine, what could God do in this situation? What could God do through me? Who is God to me? We have a level of our understanding. And yet Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and Peter is writing to the people that he's writing to who are believers to say, there's more. there's more. More than you can imagine, more than you can have experienced so far. There's more grace, there's more peace. God can do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. I loved this illustration that was done down here because there were, I don't know if you could see it because the kids were crowding around so much having such a personal moment. I don't know if you could see what there was, you know, there was a glass that's this big. And then there was a little measuring, oh, it's still wet. There was a little measuring cup. I'm guessing even, you know, that Nikki was using the smallest part of it because there's a bigger measuring bit or a little measuring bit. But the thing is, the capacity of what is containing the liquid determines what is experienced, right? This small little measuring thing has a small capacity compared to a bigger cup or a jug. And one of the things that I think the Lord has for us to consider is, what is your capacity to receive grace? What is your capacity to receive peace? Because God is infinitely able to do more. He is not running dry on grace. When you're praying in a situation and a situation is difficult and you're calling out to the Lord saying, I really need your help, I need your wisdom, I need your grace to be able to tackle with this. This person is really winding me up, or this situation is really difficult, or I'm really tired and I don't know if I can sustain my job today because I'm really tired, or my health is in this situation, and you're praying for more grace. The Lord isn't going, oh my gosh, stop praying, I'm running out. Please stop. Don't ask me for any more, because I need to save up some supplies. I need to cook some more grace. I'm not ready to dispatch any more grace. No. The Lord is able to do infinitely more. He doesn't run out of grace. He's not like scratching his head and thinking, oh, I don't know if I can meet that need today. I don't know. I've been so busy over there. I think I've run dry over here. That's not the Lord we know and love. The Lord we know and love is infinitely more able, has a never-ending supply. Why? Because he is grace. It's all about him. It's encountering him. So the challenge is not on him. It's on us and our capacity to receive grace. Our capacity to receive peace. You know the scripture that says, peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that doesn't make sense in earthly reasoning, because we're in a stressful situation. So of course we're not meant to have peace, but yet peace into that that surpasses understanding doesn't need to make sense because it's supernatural. This, my friends, is what I believe the Lord has for you individually and as a church family, is this moment to say, okay, you're going to grow in your capacity to receive grace. You're going to grow in your capacity to receive wisdom, to receive peace, to receive joy, to receive perseverance, all the qualities of heaven that he has for you. There's going to be a growth in your capacity to receive even more. So whether you feel like, oh, well, I'm at this stage, I'm just really like, oh my gosh, I'm just getting by, I'm here, then there's a growth to this. And if you're at this stage and you think, well, you know, it's a little bit struggling, then there's a growth to this. And if you're at this stage and you've got, well, I've got this much, it's like, yes, but then there's a growth to this. There is still more for us to receive. I wonder if you can put, I think the last slide is a picture. I'm hoping the last slide is a picture. I found this picture and I love this picture. There's lots of pictures of water and glasses when you start Googling. But I love this one because it feels to me like it's got a prophetic unction for you here. You see, it's very easy to think, okay, well, if I'm small and restricted in my capacity, that I'm a failure, that I'm not measuring up, that I'm not good enough. And that's not what I believe the Lord is saying. I believe he's saying, wherever you are right now, there's more. Wherever you are right now, there's more. However much peace you experience Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there is more. And it doesn't matter where you start. The fact is, the important bit is receiving more, is going from wherever you are to more. How much grace you feel in the situations you're in, whether it's in your studies or in your workplace or in your family or in your neighborhood or in your health. However much grace you feel, there's no judgment, there's just more. there's more of God. Now, for me, that seems exciting. Now, I don't know about you, if you're clumsy or not. I have a beautiful family. I have three kids who most of them are adults. Well, arguably I have four now because my eldest daughter is married. So I have a son-in-law. So I should really say I have four children. And he is the tidiest, cleanest of all of them. So I really want him to be mine because when he comes home, he just fixes everything up. You know, he just, you find him cleaning. It's like, make yourself at home, do it. Don't worry. Just you do what you do you. but when one of my children was younger, I won't say which one because they would tell me off. When one of my children were younger, they were just incredibly clumsy. We could not get through a mealtime without a drink being spilt. Have you ever had those experiences where just something is being spilt? It's like, for goodness sake, you know, towels on hand every meal. Now, admittedly, and this is a terrible confession as a parent, admittedly, we did discover that there was an eyesight issue and like the glasses couldn't be seen until the glasses were on the head. So it wasn't really just clumsy. It was actually genuinely that the child could not see what was going on. So went to reach for the drink and yeah, the drink went everywhere. But what it did also teach me is not only get your child to the opticians quicker, you parent, was actually that sometimes when you spill a drink, it doesn't matter. And sometimes it does. Let me explain. So if, you know, you've got, this is your one drink of that type, you know, yeah, you can have one Coke, you can have one juice and no more. And because we've either run out or, you know, that's just enough. And they spill it. That feels a little bit more, you know, oh, than if it's just water. It's, hey, it's okay. We've got a tap. We can get more. Where if it's the last drink of Coke in the house, I know I am demonstrating terrible parenting because you're now thinking she gives her children Coke. Pepsi Max is actually their choice drink. But anyway, but if it's your last drink of that terrible drink and it goes over, it's just like, oh. You know, you've got a crying child and the only way to fix it is to go to the shops, but you're mid-meal and you're mid-mopping up all the catastrophes. It's like, that's not going to happen. So yeah, really, it's gone. It's gone. It's just gone. Sorry. But if it's a refillable drink because you've got a tap or you're in one of those restaurants, you know, where you get a bottomless cup. Hey, you can spill them all on the floor there because you've got a bottomless cup. You can go back and fill it up again. The challenge that I think the Lord wants and the invitation really is to understand that spillables can become refillables when you have access to the source. Spillables become refillables. I don't think spillables, by the way, is a proper word. But I like it. It should be. Spillables become refillables when we have access to the source. Friends, we spill all the time. We spill all the time. We spill all the time because life can be difficult. It can be stressful. We give out. We get exhausted. We leak. But when we are attached to the source, there is more. More grace. More peace. More grace. More peace. More grace. More peace. I want to bring this to a close. I'm aware that our time is running out, but if it's okay, I'd like to pray for everybody here. I don't know the traditions of this church family, so I can offend you all in one go by what I'm about to say, but I want to encourage you to put your hands out as if you're receiving a gift from heaven. I want you to close your eyes because this is not from me. This is from heaven. And I want you to imagine that the Lord has a gift of grace and peace for you. Now, while you're doing this, I want you to breathe, you know, big lung-filling breaths. The sort that you think, oh, I might need to loosen my belt. Just breathe big. Breathe big and imagine growth. You know, that type of breath where your lungs are filling fuller than they were just a minute ago, growing in their capacity to receive oxygen. I want you to take that as a symbolism for what's growing in your spirit. That as you breathe deep, you are increasing your capacity to receive from heaven the gift Jesus has for you of immeasurably more than you've previously been able to ask or imagine. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you're with us. And I thank you for my precious brothers and sisters in this room today or on Zoom. And Lord, I pray right now, even as they're breathing deep, even as they're holding out their hands to receive a gift from heaven, Lord, deposit increased measure of grace, increased measures of peace. Increase their capacity to receive from you. Increase their capacity to be aware of your presence. Increase their capacity to ask you for help first before trying to fix their own problems. Increase because there's more than they've had before. More revelation from heaven than they've had before. More peace to do life with than they've had before. More grace, more peace, grace upon grace, and peace upon peace. And I ask this, Lord, not for the moments just now, but for the week ahead. May next week they come with stories of situations that would have normally caused them stress, but yet they experienced more peace. Lord, don't make this a momentary thing. Make this a momentum thing. As we follow you, Jesus, more closely, with more and more grace and peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.